As far back as he can remember, Jay Moriarty enjoyed making people laugh. His family in Finneytown and his classmates at St. Vivian School and St. X. He wanted to write comedy from the day he discovered that Lucille Ball had writers. Before that, he just thought that Lucy and Ethel were naturally funny people. He moved to L.A. and became a sitcom writer. He and his partner Mike Milligan wrote for The Jeffersons, All in the Family, Maude, Chico and the Man, and Good Times, to name a few. He's just published a book about his seven seasons on The Jeffersons called Honky in the House. Jay joins us by phone from Los Angeles. Hello, Jay.
Hey, John. How you doing?
Good. So you knew you wanted to be a writer at an early age.
Yeah, I remember as a kid watching Lucy, you know, and one day I noticed they had said writers. And I said, writers? You mean they got writers that write this? And I thought, gee, that'd be like a fun job, you know, hanging out with Desi and Lucy and just being able to maybe write some funny stuff for the show.
But you knew you wanted to be a writer at an early age. In your book, you talked about, you even thought about the priesthood and you'd be the writing priest.
You know, when you grow up Catholic, you have nuns teaching and they're always telling you you have a vocation. I thought, well, that's cool. If I'd be a priest, I'd still be a writing priest, you know, and I could write some funny sermons or something.
And you wrote for the St. X newspaper and also the Post and Time Star doing some high school sports. So why didn't you end up in newspapers like me?
I went down, you know, I was doing high school sports for St. X. I would go down to give my reports to the Post and Time Star office, and the guys would be there, you know, they'd be working late, smoking cigarettes and drinking coffee, and their eyes were all bloodshot. And I just thought, you know, I don't know. And then I found out the money's not that great, really. It's just dedication. Guys like Joe Quinn, editor of high school sports, he was a great guy and really dedicated to covering sports. But couldn't write jokes or anything. And every time I tried to insert a little fun or funny, they'd cut it out, you know. So I just thought it'd be more fun maybe to write for some comedy stuff. But when I first came out here to California, the comedy hits were laughing toward the end of the 60s.
Right. And, Smothers Brothers.
Smothers Brothers. Those are the kind of shows I wanted to write. I mean, they kind of had relevant comedy, and being a boomer and everything and growing up in the 60s, I wanted to try to write what I would call relevant comedy. And when I was out here, though, like 1971, I think, when the All in the Family era, I don't know if you remember, they had disclaimer at the beginning, you know, like get your kids out of the room. And then when I saw, you know, Archie Bunker and Meathead, you know, I thought, man, this is what I want to write. So I forgot about variety stuff. You know, my dream was then to write for All in the Family. That was like a one-of-a-kind show that was on the air. And in fact, when my parents came out, the first taping I ever saw was All in the Family, took them to the show. Norman Lear was doing the warm-up, and it's the whole thing to me was magic. I just thought, I want to work for this guy. I want to work for Norman, and I want to be a writer. And that was that.
He really set the gold standard for comedy writing in the 1970s, didn't he?
Yeah, it was basically satire, but he combined serious stuff with comedy. When I was watching All in the Family, I'd be, you know, one minute you're laughing, next minute tears coming. It's like, wow, I never realized you could do both, you know, in the same thing, combine comedy and drama. So that was a revelation to me.
And one of the scripts you did was for The Jeffersons, was about something you saw in a magazine about the high rate of suicide among African Americans. And you did that as a episode for The Jeffersons. So how do you do that? How do you find laughs in a sitcom about suicide?
Well, that's a good question. No, I tell you, actually, you remind me of the day after I saw that Norman Lear, you know, we went to the taping. When I got home, I actually wrote a treatment for an All in the Family episode, called it The Draft Dodger. It was a big issue at that time, and there was a war in Vietnam, you know, and draft dodgers would go to Canada, and just wrote a treatment about a story where a friend of Meathead's comes back from Canada and happens to visit his mom at Christmas time and ends up at the bunker house for Christmas. And I sent the treatment to All in the Family off the... And when I heard back, they passed on it. And it wasn't until like 3 years later when we were working for the Jeffersons. And I pitched that idea to Norman. We did the show in 1976. But yeah, about the suicide thing, a good place for getting story ideas in those days was Time Magazine, any magazine, you know, because Norman liked to cover topical stuff. And I'd read in Ebony Magazine about the highest rate of suicide was among young Black women. And Florence the Maid wasn't a regular at that time. She was like a recurring character. And I thought maybe a story about that would be good. And my writing partner, Mike Milligan, and I worked up a story. We pitched it to the creator producers of The Jefferson, Don Mickle, and Mickey Ross and Bernie West, NRW. They actually were writers who worked with Norman in the early days on All in the Family. And Norman gave them the show of The Jeffersons when it started. Don Nickel and Mickey and Bernie, when we pitched them suicide stories, they were not interested. They'd kind of been burnt out on writing serious stuff for Norman. So we said, think up something else. So we thought up a couple other things. And they said, go pitch those to Norman. So Mike and I went to pitch to Norman, and we pitched the two ideas that we talked about. And Norman said, yeah, he wasn't that crazy about either one. He said, you got anything else? So then I brought up suicide. And Norman just loved that idea. So then we had to go back, though, and tell our bosses.
So how do you make that funny? Do you make that funny by having the B storyline and humor in the other characters and the other subplots while you deal with the seriousness of thinking about suicide?
Well, one thing we found out, Norman kind of led us in this direction, where when somebody decides to kill themselves, they can be real upbeat about it. And then they finally made a decision. They know that everything's going to be good, and they're going to the place in the sky where they'll see everybody they know and be happy. And so we start off with Florence. Usually they complain about she doesn't clean, but she's cleaning everything. She's doing a great job. She's cleaning behind the refrigerator. George comes home. Louise says, I don't know about Florence. Something's different. Something's wrong. What's the matter? Well, she's cleaning everything. Hey, that's great. She's finally being a maid. And you just take an upbeat thing like that. And when she leaves, she says she's going to do something she's never done before, go to the top of the Empire State Building. When George hears that, you know, Louise says, you know, she's going to the top of the Empire State Building. When they get to where they think maybe Florence is going to jump off the Empire State Building, Lionel finds her. Where'd you find her? Well, in front of the Empire State Building. What was she going to do? Jump off the curb? Florence gives Louise a prized possession, a ribbon that she won for third place in a Harlem swim meet. When, you know, Tom Willis sees the ribbon, he goes, she's going to kill herself just because she came in third. Just stuff like that. You do jokes off of the real stuff, and then people are dying to laugh at something. It's funny you mentioned laughter. I mean, laughter was, there was so much live audience laughter that show was actually aired without being sweetened. Usually you sweeten shows. You do two of them, 5 o'clock and 8 o'clock, and you sweeten between them.
Well, with George, you guys discovered that just a simple aha could get a great laugh, right?
Well, yeah. The first thing we wrote and how we got hired on the Jeffersons was we pitched a story called Louise's Daughter, where a young lady shows up at the door and says she's Louise's daughter and saying her mother's Louise Mills, which was Louise's maiden name. George gets all upset because it was while he was in the Navy in Korea, and that was when the baby was born. And he says, aha. And she says, don't you aha me. And he says, I'm your husband. I can aha you if I want. You know, aha, aha, aha. And you do that kind of stuff between the two of them. You know, you kind of believe Louise that this really isn't her child, but George gets all bent out of shape and thinking that she's been hiding this from him, and play it between the characters. That's where you find your fun, if that makes sense.
So the Jeffersons were spun off All the Family, and some people had said that George Jefferson was just a black Archie Bunker, but that's not really the case. I know you wrote about it in the book, but explain it to the audience.
Well, yeah, I wrote a whole chapter on that, comparing those two characters, who are probably the two most iconic characters in sitcoms. But George Jefferson comes from a whole different place. Archie's at best a lovable buffoon. At worst, he's a bigot, you know, and whereas people say George Jefferson is a black Archie Bunker. Well, George isn't really a bigot per se. I mean, Archie is a bigot. He marginalizes people by the color of their skin and stuff. George is coming from a place where his roots, white people in this country, have enslaved and owned and tortured and raped and hanged. And I mean, his heritage, he's naturally, what he calls somebody a honky, it isn't just a pure kind of marginalization. You know, where Archie's a lovable buffoon, George is a hero. And at worst, George is a workaholic who wants to provide for his family, you know, not only the necessities of life, but the finer things of life. Yeah, that was a great thing, too, about in those days, everything we did was with a live audience. They were all plays. They weren't like single-camera shows. These were plays in front of a live audience. And that's what Norman knew well was Broadway. And he cast from Broadway actors, and these actors, they knew how to play to an audience and wait for a laugh and all that stuff. You really knew if your show was working or not, because you know, we did a 5 o'clock and an 8 o'clock show. So at 5 o'clock, things that weren't working, you change them. The audience lets you know. They let you know what's funny and where they stop breathing or tears start. Or, you know, you get to feel all that, which is important in comedy, I think.
So when you're with the Jeffersons, when you did the 5 o'clock and the 8 o'clock show, which like when you were a story editor, executive producer, is that when you'd huddle, gather together the writers and see what you got to fix or see we got to tweak a line here or whatever?
Yeah, you do that, you know, but if you know what you're doing after a while, you pretty much know how the audience is going to react. Mm-hmm. I mean, I could pretty much tell you what's going to get a laugh and what's not. And sometimes we debate among ourselves, the writers, you know, I'll bet you a buck that gets a laugh or something, you know. And if it doesn't, yeah, then if something just lays flat, then you gotta rewrite it. The trick is to get the story really tight and the script really tight before you take it to the table. We learned that from Nickel, Ross, and West, guys who really trained under Norman, knew what they were doing. And really, when I got on other shows and stuff, I realized not everybody gets their script ready on time, and they do a lot of writing in between shows. It can get really crazy because if you're throwing the actors, you're throwing the cameras, they're going to have new lines. Everything gets screwed up if you don't really have it pretty tight. We wanted to run our show for an audience. It's like a 30-minute show. You run this play, and then things we didn't get right or somebody missed a shot on camera or something, we'll take care of it in pickups. We're not going to make the audience sit there while we do all the stuff. Now you go to a taping and they'll shoot every scene like at least 7 times. By the time you get to the end, you forget what the story is, you know? Our cast was great because, like, if Sherman would deliver a joke and didn't get a big laugh, he would pat himself on the back anyway because it was his joke, and then people would laugh at that. So, you know, they really knew how to work it. There were very few times when we just said something was just flat. But sometimes, you know, you can always cut things, too. If it runs a little long, you say, let's cut this, let's cut that for the 8 o'clock show or something.
Right,
you know.
Right.
Try not to throw too many changes at the cast because you want to give them something that's pretty tight. We would read on Wednesday and shoot on Tuesday, following Tuesday. So by Friday, we'd have a run through them. By that Friday, between Wednesday and Friday, we'd pretty much have the script down and realize that we're not going to change. And that's the thing today with these shows. The lines are constantly changed. Every day the cast comes in and they get new lines in there, so they don't learn the lines. Because, you know, well, they'll be new ones tomorrow anyway. And then you get to where you're doing your taping and they go up. Nobody knows their lines. Now, like the Jeffersons went for 11 seasons, which is a record at that time for any show, any sitcom. It's Norman Lear's best syndicated show.
And it still holds up. Hey, Jay, this has been a blast. Thanks for talking to us tonight. We're going to have to do this again.
Yeah, I'm glad. It's always exciting, you know, to talk to my homies in Cincinnati.
I've been speaking with Cincinnati native Jay Moriarty about his new book, Honky the House, Writing and Producing the Jeffersons. You'll find a link to it on our website, wvxu.org. For Around Cincinnati, I'm John Keesman.